This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We've got our next guest in the studio.
We do have our next guest. Someone you might have heard here on Joy 94.9 before. Dean Murphy, welcome to the show.
Hello, boys. How are you going?
Hey, good, good.
It's good to be on air here in the afternoon and not getting ready to do it at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I'm just going to say that was not my favourite thing.
How did you do that back in the day?
Well, you know, when we started it, we were in COVID, so I kind of had nothing else to do. You know, it was that 4 o'clock. Anna Murphy, she was good. She could get up at 4 o'clock. Me, I was every morning for 3 years was like, oh, I can't believe I've got to get out of bed. But anyway, we made it through.
Yeah. So, for those that don't know who you are, give us a bit of
how
a background.
You?
Exactly. Apart from Joy, everyone would know that side of you, but you've had, you know, like a pretty full life of doing bits and pieces. Yep. Give us a bit of a background.
Started all this in commercial radio years ago. So I started Fox FM when I was 19 and young and dumb and didn't know anything at all. And 13 years later, I got out of that, and I came out, and then I
became out.
I was 27 when I came out, so I then transitioned into a world that I had no knowledge about, which was running big gay dance parties. So I went from this straighty 180, you know, Bogan from Hell, flannel shirt wearing, AC/DC listening, to, you know, kicking the door down, and here we are, I'm running dance parties.
Right.
So, yeah.
But natural, really.
But doesn't everyone do that?
Along the way as well, you were diving?
Yes, I've dived since I was 12.
Right.
So, springboard diver, and I still do it. I don't do it very well anymore, but still get on there. And I'm a coach, so I'm a level 2 coach.
Yeah, yeah.
And just coach a whole bunch of kids. And,
right.
Yeah.
So why did you get involved with the dance party scene? What was the reasoning?
Do you know what? I actually fell into it because I was running events at Fox and doing all that kind of stuff. Right. And this guy who was running parties came up to me and a friend of mine and said, he'd run two parties and he was losing money. He goes, oh, I don't want to do this. This is too hard. Do you want to do it? Gosh. That's how it happened. Wow. Do you want to take it over?
Yeah.
And we said yes. And, you know, there's been good moments. There's been really interesting moments.
But it's a hard business, isn't it?
Because it's a tough game.
You know, like up and down. But you know, like you had a formula, didn't you? And you stuck with it very much. And you were very successful, weren't you?
Still doing them.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. We just ran Josh, my business partner over here. We ran New Year's, and we had a one on the 26th of Jan. So yeah, it's been good.
Oh, good on you. Yeah. Good. Yeah, because you did back away there for a while, didn't you?
And I thought, yeah, I had a little break. I had a little break away from it, and I said, if I'll see what the marketplace is doing, and if no one comes up with anything, I'll get back into it.
Yeah.
And I think what we do is we sell people on the music. So, you know, there's a number of parties in town. The competition's really strong at the moment. Mm. But a lot of those are, they've got different flavours. You've got your thick and juicies, your troughs and all those kind of parties. And ours is based upon literally giving people great music, mm-hmm. great shows, getting them lost in the atmosphere. That's what we try and create.
And where do you hold them these days? Is it venues?
Yeah, we still move them around a little bit, but there's a big club in Track, which we do. The Emerson, which used to be the old Market Hotel.
Yep.
We move them around from place to place. But, okay. Yeah, it's still going. Yeah.
And you've got your regulars that come to...
Got the regulars.
Yeah.
Yep.
Brilliant.
We've got old and young ones. It's kind of a mix and a blend, which is really good.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Now, what's this book hearing about? You know, like, why? Okay. How?
So, how it all came about, 2018, I probably had the worst year I've ever had. Like, hit this wall and ended up in this spot that I was like, you know, when you go through those real dark patches. And when I was there, I said to myself, I wrote down four things, and there was four things that I needed to do to get myself out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, I need to challenge myself like I've never challenged myself before in an area that scares me. It just so happened it was writing a book, because I've always wanted to do it, but since a kid I've suffered from, I have dyslexia. So, you know, it was always a big challenge to read and write. Yeah. So I thought, should I give this thing a go? And I thought, well, I'm going to write myself out of a mess. right?
Yeah.
I'm going to write myself out. And so I started doing it. And then the hardest thing with the book is, you know, you go, well, where am I going from here? How am I doing? What am I doing?
And what, is it a fiction book or is it a...
No, it's I like to call it a manual on how to navigate through life. Like you can call it a personal development book. It's not where I started. I didn't start thinking, oh, this is what I'm going to do, but we ended up there, you know, and it's been great. Like the journey of it's been great. When I was doing the show here at Joy, we interviewed Fiona O'Loughlin, who is a comedian.
Yeah, incredible.
And she basically said to her, she'd just written a book, and I said, well, how did you do it? Like, I'm really interested because I'm started, but I'm like writing a paragraph and then leaving it for 3 weeks and whatever. And she said, all you got to do is make sure that you commit to writing an hour and a half every day. Doesn't matter what. Have a thought about where you want to go, but just write an hour and a half every day. Now, so from end of 2018 to the start of COVID, I didn't do a lot. But when I interviewed her just before we went into COVID, I went, well, we're in COVID. So I'll do the breakfast show and then I'll go home and I'll write for an hour and a half every day. And I just kept writing and writing and writing and writing. And then all of a sudden I had a book. Wow. And I was like, okay, this is really interesting. And so then I thought, well, what do we do from here? I needed to get an editor. Mm-hmm. And I thought this would be a real test because I'll find someone who's going to be honest with me. Like if you don't think there's something in it, I know what I've written, but if you don't think there's something in it, please let me know, you know. So this lovely lady who I teamed up with, she edited the book, and the first thing she sent to me was, wow, I've really learned a lot and I've laughed the whole way through, because I try to make there's a part in every chapter where you learn something and you laugh, right? And my stories are full on. Like there's from, you know, almost burning down a nightclub with fireworks to being in a cult when I was younger to all this kind of stuff. And it's all funny and whatever, but there's learnings in every single one of them. So when she sent me the final copy, she said, look, I'm sending you the copy and I'm going to send you the edited version, but I don't think you should look at that. Right, because it's got all the red marks of all the changes I've made. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have a look anyway. And I looked at it. And as a dyslexic, I thought, well, there'll be one or two on every page. There was hundreds. There were so many changes, whatever. But that's what an editor does.
Yeah.
That's what an editor does. Yeah. So,
and did you find that hard? Because, we've spoken to so many writers over the years. Yep. And a lot of them, when they see all those red marks and all that, they get a little bit disheartened.
No, I felt sorry for her because I thought, she copped a dyslexic. Like, that's a hard gig. I just made your gig even harder.
Yeah.
You know, but... Yeah. The end result was really good, and then you go through the process of what do I do now? Am I going to throw myself out there? Because there's some really raw material in there, like personal stuff that I thought the whole world's going to – like I've been very protected and guarded in a lot of areas in my life, and, you know, and all of a sudden I'm going, oh, here's a book, and this is all about, you know, this is like a springboard diving version of my life, you know, and it was kind of interesting. So that fear factor of like, oh my God, I'm about to publish this thing and it's going to go live and then people are going to read it. It's an interesting process. Yeah.
And when did you launch it?
So we finished up here in April last year. It took me another couple of months of editing and whatever. So around September last year, it went on Amazon. So, and I was thinking, okay, let's see how it goes here, because I'll put a little post out just saying I wrote a book. That went crazy. But what I found is a lot of people were saying to me, you should record it and do an audio book. And what I realized, what they were saying is, we're too lazy to read it. No one reads books anymore. Can you do an audio book?
That's not true.
But the next thing I thought, well, you know what? I've got some time. I'll do, towards the end of the year, last year, I thought I'll put an audio book together. And everyone kept saying, oh, that'll be great. That'll be easy for you because you wrote it. No, because I'm dyslexic. I can't even read my own handwriting. So, you know, it's one of those things that I had to go through again.
Yeah.
And you guys know when you're recording stuff, like I had so much to record. I had 15 chapters. There was a lot of editing that I had to do. But the end result, I launched it last 2 weeks ago on Spotify and a few other things, and it's gone crazy.
Fantastic.
Yeah, really, yeah.
And who is it? Is it people that you know that are reading it, you know, like because of you're well known
no,
here?
No, this is funny.
Or is it around the world?
It's around the world. I'm getting, brilliant. I've had a message from a lady in Canada who actually bought the book, read the book, sent me a message, found me on Facebook, sent me a message, and basically said, I've been writing notes and I keep writing notes and I feel like I can implement so much of this into my life. And I was like,
whoa,
wow, that's pretty strong, because that's not where I started. And I thought, because I just wanted to write a book and finish it. I didn't think it was going to get published and all of a sudden people were going to actively buy it and whatever. So those kind of moments have been really good. I had a girlfriend of mine who, she read the book and then she said to me, yeah, I don't know. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, I've just found it really challenging, right? Mm. And I thought, oh, that's okay. That's where you're at. You know, if you found it challenging, that's what it's meant to do. It's meant to shake your tree. Mm-hmm. Good or bad, it's meant to shake your tree, right? Then she listened to the audio book and she rang me up and she said, I need to apologize. She said, when I read the book, I read it in my voice and I was beating myself up,
yeah.
Right? She said, when I listened to your audio book, she goes, oh, it made sense. It was in your voice and it was funny and whatever. So different attitudes and opinions from people. It's been really good.
Well, say the title again.
Oh, it's Find the Blessing in the Bullshit.
Yeah. So, yeah. Going from the title.
Or do we need to say tish on this? Or cow dung. I don't care. Oh, whatever you want to call
David
it.
David says most of the time. but, yeah, talk about the title and what that means, how you came to that
so
title.
So, that's one of the chapters in the book, and it is basically what I try, because I didn't say that before, but I'm also a mindset coach. I've been doing it for years. And what I've tried to say to people is, you know, we all go through traumatic times. We all have patches where it could be really dark and or things that affected you, whether it's relationship breakups or, you know, business disasters or whatever it is. You're all going to go through it, right? Now, there's two ways of handling it. You can either hang on to that traumatic time and take it with you. As you know, there's a lot of people out there that can't quite let it go. Or you can try and find the positive or the blessing that came out of that. Mm-hmm. And what it will do, if you find that one thing that was positive that came out of it, then it'll shrink down the memory of the trauma. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, so for me, I went through this business relationship, which I ended up with my business partner ended up getting addicted to meth and then turned into the Antichrist. So then he made my life hell for years and slowly chipped away at all my confidence and whatever. And I walked away from that after he extorted money out of me. I walked away from that pretty broken. So then I got really, I was like frustrated. And anyone brought up his name or whatever, I would feel this anger and this hate going through my body of just whatever. And I thought, I woke up one morning and go, I can't live my life like this. I can't keep doing this because it keeps going on and on and on. What came out of it? What did I learn out of it? And I realized there was a handful of things that were really positive that came out of it. Like he was a great, no matter how weird he was a great negotiator in areas, which I learned from him over a 5-year patch. So I thought I've learned all these skills and, you know, I gained all these things out of it. And I went, oh, actually, I don't dislike him anymore. Like, I would never catch up with him, but I actually shrunk down the intensity of the moment. So that's what Find the Blessing in the Bullshit is all about. That's what the whole book is about. It's finding those great moments out of some of the things that have gone wrong in your world so you don't carry it on and all of a sudden become resentful and bitter down the track, you know?
And was it a big part of it, not just thinking about it, but actually putting it on paper or in a document to then put into?
Yeah, because I was kind of like, well, I need to put this into words, you know? Yeah.
But what about the when you're actually reading it for the audio book, how did that change, you know, like for you as well, instead of, you know, like hearing your voice back telling those stories?
Yeah, well, it was interesting because I started, I'd listened to a lot of audio books, so I started reading it and recording it like I was telling a story, right?
And David Attenborough.
Yeah. And then my sister, she listened to some of it. She goes, can you just be yourself?
Yeah.
Just be yourself and tell a story, right? Mm. And what I realize is people are going to, it doesn't matter whether you muck up a few things here and there, that it's about the passion and what the message you're trying to get across. So,
But you did stick to the formula of the book.
Yeah, pretty much.
but you didn't read it word for word.
Yeah, pretty much word for word.
Oh,
yeah,
it was?
Right, okay. I didn't want to change too much of the book.
Okay.
You know, I changed a few things, you have to, but it was pretty true to the actual story. So
fantastic. Yeah. And what's it called again?
Find the Blessing in the Bullshit.
Right, and it's available as a book?
Yeah, so you can find it on Amazon if you want the book, the hard copy, and if you go to Spotify at the moment, Audible will be, I think it's about another 2 weeks away.
Right.
But Spotify, check your platforms that you normally get your podcasts from or your audiobooks.
Yep.
But yeah, it's on. It's going well. It's going really well.
Well, you just answered a question. We had a couple of SMSs in, just asking where you can buy it, but also saying the book sounds amazing. Keen to give it a read.
Yeah.
So nice feedback already on that.
I had a guy send me a message. A random guy. He sent me a message saying I've done a review, and he sent me the review, and it basically at the end of it he goes, "Look, it's really inspirational, but I'm telling you." You're going to look at yourself. You're going to find some of it really tough, and it feels like being slapped and then hugged by a big brother.
Yeah,
right. I went, oh, okay, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah. Is there a follow up book?
I don't know. Look, it was a massive effort. It took me quite a while, and it's not my go to sort of thing. But coming out the tail end of it and seeing so much, who knows? Like you know. I've got plenty of stories.
Good. I'm sure you have.
Couldn't fit them all in the book.
And there's more stories coming as life goes on.
Yeah. This is a weird journey because I didn't expect to be here. So, you know.
That's it. Yeah. Well, speaking of history and stories, we've got a message in from Seamus. Hi, Sunday Arts. Wow.
Seamus. I love Seamus.
Hearing Dean Murphy's interview is inspirational. I'm proud to say I've known Dean for over 30 years. We first met when working in commercial radio, and it's heartening to know where he's landed today. Always a courageous and honest soul. Buy his book!
Buy his book. Seamus, hello. He was a gorgeous human being. Oh. Amazing.
Thanks so much for coming in today.
No, thank you, boys. It's really good. I really appreciate it. It's good to know that, you know, the word's getting out there. And look, you know what, if I've got a couple of copies that if you've got listeners that want a couple of copies, you can give them away. So,
all right. Okay. Well, thank you.
No worries.
And what's it called again?
Find the Blessing in the Bullshit.
Okay. Thanks, Dean.
That was nearly what this show was called, wasn't it, David?
Thank you, guys. Thanks.
You're on Sunday Arts Magazine. Big thank you to Dean Murphy, Joy royalty here on Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.